How to Live in Perilous Times. We have here part three that we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's take our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. We've been learning through this book, from this book, these principles here of how to live in perilous times. We have seen the Apostle Paul's encouragement in this very last letter the Apostle Paul wrote. What an amazing thing. In this 2 Timothy passage, Paul has written here from a jail cell. Here's an artist's idea, imagination of Paul perhaps writing there, but here's an actual picture, as we've showed before, of what very well may be the very cell where Paul was. It was not a pleasant situation. It was dank. It was damp. In fact, we are told by some reports that there was sometimes a sewage and that kind of stuff that was, you couldn't see the floor. It was polluted with all kinds of reprehensible things. And so it was no easy situation for the apostle to be in. He recognized, as he was on death row, he recognized that he didn't have long to live if God didn't intervene in a major way. But he was okay with that. He was trusting God. He was keeping the faith. He was trusting God and rejoicing in the Lord. And so as an aged man who has lived his life for the Lord Jesus since he got saved, he writes to a younger man who he's mentored, who traveled with him on some of the missions trips. And he writes to him to encourage him. And so, first of all, we saw in part one, we saw how that he encouraged Timothy, and thereby us as well, to fear not and courageously obey God. Fear not and courageously obey God. We also saw, number two, how we are encouraged to hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. Hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. Timothy was encouraged to be a partaker of the sufferings for Christ. All that will live godly, Paul wrote, shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer. Also then in part two, last week, as we saw how to live in perilous times, we saw that we need to flee sin, follow Christ, and engage in meekness. We need to engage our world, those who are lost in their sin, with meekness. Flee sin, follow Christ, and engage in meekness. Now, as we come this morning, we come to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And let's begin our reading with verse 13. Of course, in verse 1, I might note, is where Paul points out that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Chapter 3, verse 1. Perilous times shall come. We saw in part 1 the description of those times. But now let's go to verse 13 here in chapter 3. Verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the faithfulness of a godly man like the Apostle Paul, who even from a very distressed situation in a jail cell, an unpleasant situation, with a continued confidence in his heart towards you, Lord, he endured, suffered wrong, and penned these words. What an amazing encouragement from a dark jail cell at the end of a man's life, a man who loved you, who feared you, who was faithful to you. Lord, we are thankful for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, help us to not be sidetracked with pressures and difficulties. Help us to not be sidetracked by prosperity or any of these things, but help us to keep our focus upon you. Help us in these perilous times of the last days to live in a way that pleases you. And I pray that your word would be our guide today, that it would teach us, not just today, but every day, and that you would teach us from your word now. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul encourages Timothy here. Paul encourages Timothy to continue in the scriptures. Notice this, continue in the scriptures. He says here also, proclaim God's truth in the next chapter and keep the faith. Paul gives that example. And so there's our outline this morning. Continue in the scriptures, proclaim God's truth, and keep the faith. How to live in perilous times. First of all, I want you to notice continuing in the scriptures. Timothy is reminded here that evil men, verse 13, and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Things are not going to get better and better on the moral front. Obviously, there's variation from nation to nation and from era of time to era of time, generation to generation. There's ups and downs, and there's revivals that have taken place in history. And you can have a little revival even in your own life, in your heart. But overall, in the climate of earth, in the direction that the world is going, God tells us very clearly the last days will be characterized by wicked and more wickedness. And so evil men, it says, shall wax worse and worse. Seducers shall wax worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. In other words, some of these evil men are very sincere. They're completely convinced. They're entirely deceived. And they are a tool of the arch enemy, that wicked one. But what are we encouraged to do? In dangerous times, in perilous days, in evil times, in the last days, what are we to do? Well, we are to continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Timothy is encouraged here in verse 14. The scriptures here are our guide. Timothy had been raised from a child knowing the scriptures. He had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. We don't know much about his dad. He was a Greek, and the indication is he probably wasn't a believer. And Timothy, though, was able, and even in a bit of a dysfunctional home, he was able to come to know Christ. He was able to receive the instruction of a loving mother, of a godly grandmother. And Timothy learned these things in his childhood, in his youth. He was taught the scriptures, we are told here. And so he is told to continue. You know, many of us, not all, but many of us from our youth have learned the scriptures. We've had that opportunity to grow up in a home where at least one of our parents, maybe both of our parents, certainly in my case, I'm thankful for both of my parents knowing the Lord and loving the Lord and serving the Lord and being a faithful testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in my life. And I am thankful for that. That's a precious treasure. And if you are under the sound of my voice, oh, what a treasure it would be to give to your children a Christian home, a truly Christian home, not just a in the name or in some weekend habits you have of going to church or something like that. No, we're looking for a real Christian home. Certainly going to church would be a part of that. But living it in daily life, and that's what really Timothy is being encouraged here to do. That's what we are being encouraged to do, is to continue in the truth, continue in the scriptures. The Word of God is our guide. The Word of God is our guide. Consider a familiar verse from Psalm 23. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I understand that there was a valley known by that name. It was a dangerous place. There were wild animals. There were criminals who cared not for your blood, who cared not for your life. And they would attack the vicious animals. And so the liking there, though I walk, David says, through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. To the sheep, the shepherd's rod, his staff, was a blessing. They knew the shepherd was near. They knew that by that staff they would receive direction. They would receive correction. When they were caught in a over a cliff, the crook of that staff would be able to reach down and to bend around their body and lift them back to safety. It was a blessing to know the shepherd was near, for if the rod was near, that's what they would see. You remember the sheep are down on the lower level there, in the sense of lower, and that's what they would see, that rod guiding them, maybe going into the fold at night. The rod would be there to direct them and to all of those things. And so the Word of God is like that to us. When we walk through perilous times, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, dangerous times in our world, we can stand for God, because His rod, His staff, which I think in many ways pictures the Scriptures, God's direction for us. Sometimes the Scriptures discipline us. They show us where we're wrong. They help us get wrongs right. They reprove us. Thankful we ought to be for God's rod and His staff. They are a blessing. His Word, the Bible tells us, is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Psalm 119, 105. God's Word is essential for our daily living. How should we live in perilous times? We must continue in the Scriptures. Continue in the Scriptures. Not just a haphazard approach to living our life, but a purposeful dependence upon the Scriptures. Growing in the Word of God, maturing in the Word of God. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy. In the temptation he was facing there, and he drew out the truth and emphasized it, that man's life is not sustained by merely the physical food. But we need the spiritual food, the spiritual nutrition for us to be what God wants us to be. So in perilous times, we must continue in the Scriptures. The Word of God needs to become a part of our daily living, our daily life. It is the foundation for our faith. The Word of God. We don't have other books or writings of men. We have, thus saith the Lord. That is the foundation, not just because we don't have other good things. There's other good books. But this is the Word of God. This is the whole counsel of God. This is what needs to be our guide. And not just a few cherry-picked verses, but rather the whole counsel, all of God's Word. We need to grow in it. Consider here some of these verses. Verse 16, all Scripture, all of the writings, the holy writings, are given by inspiration of God. It literally means by the breath of God. These words were given in the original languages by the breath of God, by the Spirit of God, by the hand of God. Holy men of God wrote them down as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It says here in the middle of verse 16 that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The foundation of our faith and our life. Doctrine. Doctrine is what is right. Teaching. The truth of God. So the Bible here, it says about itself, that not only is it given by God, not only is it authored by God, but it is profitable for learning the truth of God. It's profitable for doctrine. We can learn the truth of God from the breath of God. The Word of God is faithful. It shows us what is right. Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. We hold the Scriptures, which are God's holy word. We see here, not only is it profitable for doctrine, but it says it's profitable for reproof. This shows us areas in our life where we are wrong. Remember the rod of the shepherd? Sometimes it was used to bring correction, reproof to a rebellious sheep. Here we see as well that God's word reproves us. It brings reproof to us, to our lives. It shows us where we are wrong. Someone once said that the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Many times when we've allowed sin in our hearts, we don't want to give attention to the Bible. We don't want to read God's word. We want to skip time with God. But that ought to be a red flag to us that our flesh is in control, that our flesh is having its way, and we need to yield to God, and we need to look into the Scriptures because it's profitable for reproof. It's profitable also, it says, for correction. Correction. This helps us get wrongs right. It helps us get wrongs right. So reproof shows us what's wrong. Correction helps us get our wrongs right. God gives us the help we need to see where we need to go, to see how to get it right. And then fourthly, in this verse, instruction in righteousness. God's word is profitable that we might know how to keep it right. We don't have to be in the ditch all the time. We can stay on the road. We can do the will of God. We have the instruction in righteousness. We can grow and mature in the Lord. Verse 17 there, grow and mature in the Lord, that the man of God may be mature, may be perfect, may be complete, thoroughly furnished, completely prepared for all that God has for him. We can be a prepared vessel. How is it? It's by continuing in the Word. Continuing in the Word. How do we live in perilous times? Continue in the Scriptures. This needs to be an important part of our daily living. Again, not just, yes, we attend church or something like this, but a daily giving our attention to God in the Scriptures, really obeying God. And that is essential and important. All right. Number two, what should we do in perilous times? How can we live? How should we live in perilous times? Not only continue in the Scriptures, but proclaim God's truth. Here again, we see God wanting us to do something in perilous times, to do something in this world, to be a light in a dark place. And he encourages Timothy, just like he did in the beginning of this second letter of Timothy. He encouraged him in the beginning, in verse number 7, to not be afraid. He said, fear not. Actually, he said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy, don't cower in fear, but advance forward in obedience to God, in God's strength, in God's stability. You can live for God. You can do the work God's called you to do. You can be what God wants you to be. Here we are told in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy that we are to advance the cause of Christ, proclaim God's truth. So once again, the encouragement is to make a difference in this world, to proclaim God's truth to those who need it, to those who are perishing. Verse number 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living, the quick, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, Timothy. Timothy, one day Jesus will come. One day he will return. He will judge the quick and the dead. He will judge this world. Preach the Bible, Timothy. Preach the word. We are not to preach men's ideas, men's doctrines. We are to preach what the Bible says. We are to preach the whole counsel of God. This is our message. You say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not even a man. Well, that doesn't, this, although this is applied specifically to a pastor here, as Timothy was in Ephesus, But we all need to be proclaiming God's truth. We all need to be sharing the light and the truth of God with people. And so the broader application certainly is to every one of us. From our youth to our senior years and everywhere in between, our message, the message of our life and daily living, needs to be sharing the truth of God in these truthless times. While many Christian leaders today have watered down the message, many have taken up a social cause, social gospel type of thing, or just a mere motivational message. Many churches today have gone woke, trying to fit in with the ever-changing societal delusions of our day. But we, as God's people, must proclaim the truth of God. In a day when truth has been twisted to and replaced, I should say replaced by error, and error is being promoted as truth. Lies and deceptions are being embraced. Evil is being touted as good and holy. Well, that which is truly good and moral and right is frowned upon. And more than that, it is disdained. We must be bearers of God's truth. We must advance God's truth in our lives. Timothy is told here to preach the word when it's popular, when it's welcomed, and when it's not welcomed. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Timothy is taught here, encouraged here to preach against sin. Rebuke, reproof. He is encouraged here to teach biblical doctrine. Notice that in the last word of verse 2. Doctrine. And then it goes on in the next one, next verse, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, true biblical, honest doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Many people will not want the truth of God. In the last days, in the end times, there will be many who will turn away their ears from truth. They don't want the honest, straightforward message of the Bible. They want a Jesus that they can create, a cool Jesus that is soft on sin and doesn't even point it out, but paints it as acceptable in the grace of God. But it's not. Sin is always against God. And so Timothy is encouraged to preach sound doctrine, a biblical message, a biblical Jesus, Christ, crucified and risen and coming again. Coming again for his own and coming again in judgment. We see that in this passage from verse 1 on through a number of these verses. Let's look at verse 4. It says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, the work of evangelizing, the work of bringing the gospel to those who need it. This is our calling. This is our calling, not just for the pastor or the missionary, but we, as every one of God's children, need to continue in the scriptures. We need to live the word of God in our daily life. In our homes, we need to have homes that are tailored after the commands of Scripture, how we function and how we talk to one another, on our amusements. It all needs to be guided by the Scripture. And out from our lives, we need to be messengers of the truth, proclaiming God's Word in the printed page, in our testimony example, in the words of our mouth, in conversation, and in times when we have opportunity to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. And so all of these things, all these areas, we need to preach the word, share the truth of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23, Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified." We preach Christ crucified. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves," Paul said, "but Jesus Christ the Lord." We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, part of verse 27 and 28, "Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach." Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. It is the proclamation of the Word of God that we need in our day. In this truthless time, we need to be the light that God wants us to be. How to live in perilous times? We can see clearly from the Scriptures, it's not to hunker down. It's not to, you know, yes, we need to hold the fort for He is coming, but we need to continue in the Word of God. We need to proclaim the truth, be advancing the cause of Christ. And lastly, I want you to notice we need to keep the faith. Keep the faith. Here the Apostle Paul from that jail cell on death row is writing, and he says to Timothy in verse 5 of chapter 4, he says, "But watch thou in all things, Timothy, be alert. Be alert in the times in which you live. Be enduring the hardships. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Paul knew he was coming to the end of his life. He recognized that it was time for him to suffer yet more and to give his very life. Verse 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight." He speaks of the biblical fight, the fight for truth, the fight to preach the word, the fight for souls, to rescue them from the clutch of the enemy, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Chapter 2, verse 25, right? And so Paul here, he says, "I fought a good fight." He says, "I have finished my course. I've been faithful to the will of God." Paul, from the time he came to know Christ as his Savior on the road to Damascus, he has followed the Lord. Oh, he was not a perfect man, that is for sure, for he was a sinner. But you know what? He sought to have a clean conscience before God, to do what God had called him to do. And he says, "I have kept the faith." He speaks of his confidence in God. He has kept his eyes on Jesus. Yes, he has. He also speaks of the body of truth of the faith. He has maintained sound doctrine. He has proclaimed God's truth faithfully. He has kept the faith. He has defended the faith once delivered to the saints. Our faith. This is our hope. The truth of God, the Word of God, is our hope. We see two aspects in keeping the faith. Not only keeping our confidence steadfast in the Lord, that is, keeping our eyes upon Jesus, but also guarding, teaching, and propagating the biblical faith. Keep the faith. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. We must continue to trust Him when hardship comes. Our confidence needs to be in God. You know, in these last months, years, 2 years, well, safety has been sometimes very artificially, but it's been promoted as the what we should all bow down to, that we are safe, lest the virus should harm any one of us. But that's not the Word of God. Safety is of the Lord. We need to do the will of God. We need to obey God in this world. Well, we should be wise. Well, we should be careful and not reckless in our life. Our trust is in God. We need to obey God. It was not safe, the course that Paul took, as far as he wasn't for the best safety for him to go to these towns, like he mentioned here in chapter 3, verse 11, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. At Antioch, he was kicked out of the town. At Iconium, he fled for his life. At Lystra, he was stoned to death. Except he didn't die. But they dragged him outside of the city for dead. He bore in his body, he says in Galatians, the marks of the Lord Jesus. He had many scars for following Jesus. What a shame it would be if we'd make it through this life without, you know, and into our old age, as it were, but not do the will of God. We need to be faithful in our lives to do the will of God. We live in the last days, perilous times, and we need to be committed followers of Jesus. Keep the faith, Hebrews 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. The hope we have in Christ is a wonderful thing. We need to guard the faith, not just keep our eyes on Jesus personally and in our homes, but we need to guard the faith. Sound doctrine needs to be defended and propagated. The biblical faith, Jude 1, verse 3 says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints." Earnestly contend for the faith. Our lives need to be biblical lives. We need to live biblical doctrine. Our lives need to, in other words, doctrine isn't just something we have on a statement. Our statement of faith. Yes, but our needs to be how we live, how we pray, how we interact with this world and with others. And so we see how we need to guard the faith, earnestly contend for the faith, be proactive in bringing others to Jesus. I was reminded as I studied here a little bit, reminded of the story Jesus told in Luke 19. And I just read verse 20. When the servants, I believe there were 10 servants, and each of them was given, in this case, a talent of money. And three of them are accounted for at the end when the Lord returns, and two of them did quite well and heard, "Well done." But the third one is the verse I will read. "Another came saying, 'Lord, behold, here is thy pound.'" Excuse me, it was a pound and not a talent in that case. "Here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin." So here's that third servant Jesus identifies that had been entrusted with something precious from the master. And he was told to occupy till I come. And he was unfaithful because it tells us he kept it laid up in a napkin. That same pound. It was still there. "Here you are, my Lord." And the Lord said, "Thou wicked and unfaithful servant." You see, God has entrusted us with his word. The word once delivered to the saints. The faith that we have received. Maybe you've had the privilege of being taught the word of God from an early age. Maybe not. But if you know Christ as your Savior, and if you have a Bible, we have a treasure and we can grow in it when we must. And we must let it be the guide for our life and how the perils will grow in this world. But we must keep our focus on the Lord and doing His will. And we must keep the faith. We must live it. We must live it. We must support it. Living it in our daily life through personal Bible study, through prayer, through our family, obedience to God in our home, engagement in our local church, living a Christ-honoring life. We must support it. Faithfulness to our local church. Faithfulness in giving, tithing, missionary support. Prayer for our missionaries. You know, you think about what's safe. The mission work in foreign countries many times is not safe. It's not a safe place to raise a family. But yet, missionaries have made it their desire to do the will of God as they ought. They've answered the call of God. They've gone to far-off places. They've risked their lives. I think of many missionaries who have buried their children, their wife, on the mission field, be it William Carey or Adoniram Judson, the least we can do, or I should say one of the important things we're commanded to do, is to support missions. I'm thankful that Victory Baptist Church, we've been able, with God's help, to support missions through prayer, through financial giving. This is a way that we can advance the biblical faith, living it, supporting it, and sharing it. God wants us to be a missionary. He tells us in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Of course, speaking of people created in his image. And so, how is it with us? Just a few verses I'll draw your attention to as we close. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. We are encouraged to continue in the things which we have learned, the biblical things that we have learned, in the Word of God specifically. In chapter 4, verse 2, Timothy and us, we are encouraged to preach the Word, to proclaim God's truth. Verse 5, we are told to endure afflictions. Verse 8, we are told that henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Christ is coming soon. It is worth it all to live for Jesus. Paul said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me henceforth a crown of righteousness. And the Lord doesn't just want to give it to me, but to those also who love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Are you desirous for that day when Christ will come? We ought to keep that in mind and love his coming. He is coming soon. Notice verse 16 of chapter 4. In my first answer, no man stood with me. Paul gives personal testimony here. He says, nobody stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding. Verse 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in perilous times, in lonely places. Friend, you can know the Lord will stand with you. If you stand with God, he will stand with you, just like he stood with the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace when they would not bow to the idol. God stood with them. God strengthened them, and so he did with the apostle here. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We need to depend on God in perilous times and be obedient to him. This brings a close to this little series, this three-part series. Lord willing, we're going to be starting a new series called Point of Doctrine. Point of Doctrine. And we are going to work through a number of different points of biblical doctrine, sound doctrine. So praise God for that. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. You can be saved. I would imagine most are believers who are listening even online or assembled here in the sanctuary. But you know what? If you don't know Christ, I would encourage you to text us at the number on your screen there. I would encourage you to contact us. We want to help you to see how you can be saved by trusting Christ alone. You can do the will of God. Maybe you're struggling in your life. I encourage you to seek God with your whole heart and to realize he's willing and ready to help you. He's willing and ready to help me as we trust him. We can do the will of God.